This morning we're going to learn a fascinating mimer. Highly original, seminal mimer. It's almost like Chassidus brought us to this place and then the Rebbe takes it further. There's no earth-shattering questions, just incredible clarity about the concept of the incense, of the Keteris. And this just makes sense, as you'll see. Kisisa. The mimer was delivered by the Rebbe on this Shabbos. The date was Tes Zion Adar, the 16th day of Adar, and the year was Tafshin Chav Ches, which corresponds to 1968. The mimer is actually edited. Hinei b'parsha zu mevuir inyan avedas ha'aveda b'mishkan u'b'migdash. In this week's Torah portion, it speaks about the services, the things that had to be done in the Mishkan and the Migdash, which is called the Mishkan. And what is that? That's inyan ma'aseh ha'keteiros, the concept of the incense. Shezeh hoya me'aveides ha'ikrius b'mishkan. This was one of the primary things that were performed in the Mishkan. Va'afal pi shegam b'parsha kedemes, despite the fact that this is also mentioned in the previous Torah portion. In Parshas Tetzaveh, medubir me'inyan ha'keteiros, we do have a discussion of the concept of incense. And similarly, v'chein b'parsha haba'ah, next week's Torah portion, which is called Parshas Vayakel, that we're going to hear about the Keteret there too. Aval sham medubar rak b'chlolos. But in those Torah portions, it's spoken of in a broader fashion. U'b'parsha zu, but in this week's Torah portion of Parshas Kisisa, mevu'er ha'inyin b'pratis. Here, we get the details. Dahainu, what details are we referring to, specifically? The preparations made in order so that we might bring the Ketoret. There's a compound that has to be made. There's a collection of different ingredients, and there's the way the ingredients are prepared so that we can actually bring the Ketoret. And that's only found in this week's Torah portion. And also the list of ingredients that comprises this incense that was brought. Similarly, in this week's Torah portion, we uniquely have Goydol HaInyan Shebezeh. There's something in this week's Torah portion that conveys the overriding importance of the Ketoros. Halavim HaKshurim Bezeh, the negative commandments of the Torah, instructions were given of things that we must not do. And in addition to the details of what we're not supposed to do, it is also conveyed to us Chaymer HaInyan, the seriousness of what we speak of. So much so, the Torah indicates that there is a consequence, which is the opposite of life. To one who might violate these Torah proscriptions. So this idea that there could be such a consequence, in other words, that you're playing with fire, quite literally, and you have to be exceedingly careful about the Ketoret because this is something of extraordinary power and something that has an incredible amount of importance. So we see that oftentimes from the consequence. It's interesting that the Mishnah says that you don't know the reward of a mitzvah. So it says you should no mitzvah should be light. No mitzvah should be trifled. Why? Ein ata yedea, we don't know schar and shel mitzvahs. We don't know the reward of a mitzvah. What Hashem's remuneration will be, we'll only find out in the other world. But it says when it comes to negative mitzvahs, we do know. How do we know? Because the Torah does talk about consequences. Now, even though those consequences don't actually unfold, the fact that such a consequence could be applied to this does indicate that certain negative sins are worse or more damaging than others. And therefore, if you want to know how serious Ketoret is, how important it is, take a look at the consequence that the Torah attaches to it. Here, there's a consequence which is so heinous, so severe, so egregious, that we talk about even the concept of Hepech HaChaim, the opposite of life. And that is only found in Parshas Kisisa. Shekan mevur chaymer ha'inyan. One would only get a sense of how serious the scents of the incense are when you read this week's Torah portion. The Rebbe says, it's true that bekarbonis yesh tekama v'kama lavim. It's true that when it comes to offerings in general, in the Beis HaMikdash, there are many, many proscriptions in the Torah. The Torah talks about chulin bazara, not bringing ordinary material into the sacred precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah talks about shchut echutz, taking things which are designated for a korban and maybe using them or going through the motions outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's some pretty serious consequences attached to that. But Ein Zeh Magiyah L'Keteiros, none of this comes to Keteiros. Shechamura Kol Kach, that the Keteiros is, in the Torah's view, so severe, so serious, so weighty, Ad L'Inyan Shel Heipech HaChayim, to the point that the Torah discusses the opposite of life, not from an earthly court, from a heavenly court. God says He would impose L'Ha'oise B'Maskunta, to one who might replicate this these ingredients. So really, you get a sense of how serious it is from the negative fashion in which the violation of these mitzvahs are framed. So in a word, the Rebbe said in this opening part of the Maimer, this is the parsha that we really get introduced to Ketoret in the most serious of ways. Here's where we understand what a big deal this is. V'hine, inyan akarbonis u'maisa akteris, the concept of offerings, the act of bringing the incense, hadeze avedas ha-mishkan, this comprises what we call the service of the Mishkan. Is explained in the famous Maimer of the Yud Shvat Maimarim of Basar Lagani, that the overridingly, primarily important aveda, service in the Mishkan and Migdash, is the concept of karbonis, of offerings, which the offerings are koilel also ma'aseh k'tiras. And that's why the Mishkan was made of atzei shittim dafka, as is explained in there, they great in great detail that the atzei shittim represent the acacia tree that grows but kind of veers to a side. It doesn't grow straight, which is like an oxymoron. Here it says, make yourself the straightest planks. So where should you go for straight planks? To a tree that veers to a side. It doesn't make any sense. What does it want? If you want straight planks, go to the other cedar trees. They grow perfectly straight. No, perfectly straight planks, but from those cedar trees. So clearly there has to be some kind of message here. And the Shita, as we learned, is about hatoya, about turning, about the going beyond the call of duty, and how that accomplishes the most amazing things. And all of that is couched or framed within the terminology, the idea and ideals of the offerings of the Korbanos. And that through all of this, that through the Atzei Shittim, which can house the Korbanos, there comes the concept of Shechanti B'Seichem, God's presence amongst us. The Hine Klolos Inyan HaKorbanos, the general concept of Korbanos, who Inyan is, of course, as per its name, Kiruv Kol HaKoyches. Korban comes from the word kiruv, a closeness. So it means to bring close all of your faculties. Va'ad l'hakiruv, to such closeness that is enjoyed and appreciated and experienced through the korban. Asher raza de korbano, elad raza de insayif. Till the Zoharic statement, which is invoked numerous and copious times in Maimar of Basar Lagani, that the mystery of the korban, or the secret of what it unlocks, is that it reaches to the very deepest and stirs the very most profound essence of the infinite. So till here the Rebbe said, all korbanos are important. Keteiros is a part of korbanos. So whatever gets done in the Beis HaMikdash is important. Beis HaMikdash is an important place. Very powerful and important things happen there. Yeah, but the Keteiros is different. The Keteiros stands out. The Keteiros remains unique. The korbanos nekroyim achila. Because the korban is used, the terminology of consumption is used. Kumesha kosov, like it says in the Torah when it describes the korban and it describes the concept of the offering, it says, korbani, my korban, says God, lachmi li'ishai, my fire bread, my fire offering. In other words, bread is what you eat. V'lachein nikirisor rayasi, that's why we're called God's friend, partner. The pirish rayasi, parnasasi, that we provide for God, kaviyachol, so to speak. That God says, I want you to provide for me. How do you provide for me? Well, you bring Mishnei Tamidim, you bring the offerings of that are brought in perpetuity. Okay, the Isra Medrash, like it says in the Medrash, Yisrael Mefarnesem La'aviyam Shabashamayim. The Medrash Yerashirim says that the Jewish people actually provide. We give like prosperity, we sustain, as it were, God. God says, I need to be sustained. I need you to take care of me. And to take care of me is the Korbanos. I have an amazing Rashi in Parshas Pinchas that says like there was this king who was a princess who was dying, and so the king said to her, tell my children not to forget me. And the princess said, tell your children not to forget you. How about you don't forget your children? It's like this whole relationship thing. And it's all centers around what? It centers around the korbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, make sure you take care of the Jewish people. And God says to Moshe, yeah, make sure to take care of me. Don't forget about me. So we have a responsibility towards Hashem. Masha'en ki ma'isei ha'keteres, but keteres is not achila. Keteres is not a meal. Keteres is not what sustains us. The korban, the keteres is reyach. This is the concept of scent. Despite the fact that because in holiness, everything that is true and real will be found in every dimension of holiness. Which means that if there's a concept of reyach, it'll be found in the korban too. So if there's an idea of reyach, and reyach is an important part, that by korbanos you also have yeshna inyan reyach. There's a notion of a scent also, kamesh kosov, like it says with regard to the korbanot, reyach nichoach l'Hashem. God calls the korbanot, the offerings, a pleasing aroma. But primarily speaking, the korban represents consumption, food, eating, not the idea of scent, not the idea of the aroma. Where do we find this difference between nostrils? In other words, what gets in deeper? What touches the person anymore? We say there's the right nostril and the left nostril. By the way, if you Google this, you'll find like on chat rooms people discussing if they snort cocaine, which nostril they should snort from. I'm not kidding with you. I was shocked to see that when I was researching this. But the point is that in Zohar, it speaks about the human body as a metaphor for the divine psyche, and everything that's in the material world is a reflection of a deeper spiritual truth, and we have a right nostril and a left nostril. An aroma is ingested, or the intake of aroma happens through the nostrils. You don't smell through your ears, you don't smell really through your mouth, you smell primarily through your nostrils. And there's a difference of in smelling something deeply through your right nostril or your left nostril, where the right nostril is said to get to the brain more quickly. So the point is like this. This is a discussion of the Zohar about the pradashkas, about the nostrils. So if they say the korban, the idea of the korban is reyach, so there should be a discussion of, so which nostril? Which of course right and left represents chesed and gvura, and like there's a lot to be said about the nostrils and what they represent. But there's no discussion. It is what it is. It's like a person say, I smell, you smell the aroma, I smell the aroma. Whatever. It's not an aroma thing, so we don't make a distinction between this nostril or that nostril. But when it comes to something which is uniquely aroma oriented, there we say that's what the difference. And the fact is that the Pardashka discussion only centers around the Ketoret, not around the Korbanot. Which indicates that the Reach element of the Korbanot is secondary to the Korbanot. That's not what the Korbanot are really about. The Korbanot are primarily achila, consumption, food, in the metaphor. But the Ketoret, that's the primary focus on Reach, on aroma. And that's Dafke Gabi Ketoris. Kivon Shadafke Biktoris. Because only when it comes to incense is it about the scent. This is what really makes sense. Pun intended. Valkein. It's within the power of the Ketorot. We're now being introduced to something incredible. Only when it comes to the Ketorot is there the power of full transformation. What does that mean? The Hine. The korban has to be brought from that which is kosher. If you can't eat it, don't expect to feed it to God. If it's not kosher, it's not kosher for a korban. If it doesn't work in the kitchen, it doesn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's because certain things can't be elevated, can't be transformed. But when it comes to the ketores, we have a different idea. The ketores, yesh negam inyan hamor, there's the mirror. And the myrrh is said to be the extract of an animal in the Far East, and the extract comes from the blood of this animal, and the animal is not kosher. There's actually a machlekes of the Rishonim, what myrrh is, if myrrh is from a kosher source or a non-kosher source, but the Alter Rebbe favors the approach on a mystical level, that it's a non-kosher source, and he says the myrrh is able to be used as incense. In other words, something Hashem created, it's on the dark side, if you will. It's on the Sitra Achra. It's not untied. It's not prepared for elevation. And yet, Ketores can elevate it. And like the Alter Rebbe says, in a Maimer on Megillah Esther, Be'inyan Shishach Hadashim B'Shemen Hamor, that in order for the Megillah, in order for the woman to meet Achashverosh, so the Megillah talks about the process of beautification and whatever it was, all these cosmetics and so on and so forth, that took place over a longer period of 6 months. And it says there were 6 months in which they would immerse regularly in or take these myrrh baths or myrrh treatments. And the name Mordechai comes from the name Mira Dechaya, which Mira Dechaya means is based on the idea of incense and aroma. So over there he explains that the Shish Chadashim, the Shish Chadashim B'Shem and Amor, he talks about the idea of transformation, which of course the whole idea of Purim, the full Vinahapech, the full transformation of the negative into the positive, or the house of Haman. Imagine the residence of Heinrich Himmler would become a yeshiva. That's what happened. Haman's house was given to Achashverosh and it was given to Esther and Mordechai. They turned it into a kol. Little children were learning Torah in there. It's a huge compound. And it became the central address for Jewish people, for the study of Torah. That's full transformation. And the Rebbe says that it actually goes further. Not that one of the 11 ingredients comes from klipa, but furthermore, each and every one of the 11 ingredients is linked by dint of the fact that it's 11 to the concept of the other side. How's that? The keteiros has to have specifically 11 different ingredients. And if it says if one is missing, it says some very severe things. A lot of people, when they even recite the korbanot, they count in the finger. He's not supposed to miss even a single ingredient. So it's not like the 11th one is the last one mentioned. We got 10, and then an 11th one. There are 11 samamani akteiros. You're saying, so what? Well, the thing is like this, that Yud Aleph, the number 11, is Inyan HaLu'umazeh. That represents the concept of the dark side, the other side. She'enoi k'mei b'kedusha, she'sham by b'kedusha, we say, Eser v'le achad asar. How many spheres are there? How many keichas ha'nefesh? How many levels in Atzilus? Eser spheres. The number is always 10, but that's in kedusha. Of course, we know the number 10 from the abacus is the concept of completion, wholesomeness. Mathematics is always done in tens, and that represents the idea of order, rhyme and reason, that which is straightforward, that which makes sense, that which is, so to speak, logical. It fits in the system. 11 fits nowhere. It's off the charts. You're right. The klipa doesn't fit. We say furthermore that the 11 ingredients of the Ketoret correspond not to the family of Yaakov, which is perfect and has rhyme and reason and has a methodology and a perfectly square root. But when it comes to Esav, it says there was Yud Aleph Alufi Esav. There are 12 chieftains of Esav. Esav, of course, has a holy source. He is the son of Yitzchak, the grandson of Avraham Avinu, but gone very bad. It's not only there's an 11th. The 11th ingredient corresponds to Esav. No. All 11 ingredients correspond to the 11 chieftains of Esav. If so, each one of the 11, they're each linked to the dark side. The concept of Ketoros represents not simply taking that which is mundane, ordinary, but prepared for holiness, or available for holiness, but rather taking that which is off the charts, beyond the pale of what we consider to be decent, and that which is seemingly, superficially, impossible to utilize in the service of Hashem. Far gone. That is turned around. That's the power of Ketoros. Lahapek es ha'le'umaze, to be able to turn the darkness into Kedusha. V'akoyach lazeh, and the power to do this, this is because Ketoros is represented by the concept of aroma, which aroma is magila maila yesumi karbanos. It reaches more deeply and more profoundly than the offerings. So now we're going to talk about the maila, the virtue of reich, that the reich magia be'etzem ha'nefesh can reach the deepest part of the soul and the psyche and the consciousness. Therefore, it's b'koyach ha'reich dafke, the dafke reich chazak. It's within the purview of scent, and specifically a very, very pungent scent, a powerful, piercing scent, la'oyder mehashina, to awaken from a sleep. Shezeh b'koyach ha'reach dafke. This can only be accomplished reach. Reach stirs. Aroma stirs. It awakens. Ve'ein zeh b'koyach ha'achila. But food doesn't have that power. Adarabba. On the contrary. Guess what happens when you eat too much? You fall asleep. The food puts you to sleep. Achila gerem es l'shina. And that's why it says in Maseches Yoma, which is, by the way, today's Rambam, Shekhen Godol Tzarech Lamayit Ba'achi Losei Be'Erev Yom Kippur. Every Jew in the world eats twice as much on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah. You're supposed to eat twice as much as you eat during a regular day. If you have one meal in a day, you're supposed to eat two meals in Yom Kippur. Twice as much. One Jew in the world doesn't. The super Jew. The Jew who is higher than all others. The Jew who represents every one of us in the Holy of Holies. And his name is the Kohen Gadol. And you say, hey, if he's the super Jew, he should be doing three times as much. He should have a supersize me day. And the answer is no. He doesn't get that. Why not? And the answer is, because Michael may be a sashina, because lots of eating brings sleeping. And the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sleep on the night of Yom Kippur. So special people were appointed to keep him up. And they would sit and they would, Kohen, come on, don't fall asleep. And they would tell him to teach a class which is supposed to keep you awake. It's very hard to fall asleep in the middle of giving a sermon, if you're giving it. But and then if the Kohen Gadol couldn't give classes by himself, they would teach him this fascinating stuff. And if he falls asleep, he had people stand next to him, push him, say, hey, Kohen Gadol, don't sleep. And because of this, we didn't let him eat on Yom Kippur. Everybody else ate, and he was hardly eating. Why? Because Michael may be Shina. Because food brings sleep. Masha enkin reyach. Nobody has a deep aroma and then falls asleep. On the contrary, the aroma sharpens your senses and it wakes you. It's ma'ir me'ashina. And the reason, al pi chasidus, is ma'yachas she'magia be'etzem ha'nefesh, because this touches the deepest part of the psyche. It stimulates the deepest and the most profound element of our faculties. V'zeo ma'asha avedus kohen gadol b'yemakipurim achas b'shana ha'isa b'k'toyres. Therefore, if there was one kind of aveda which symbolized the essence of Yom Kippur, which aveda would it be? K'toyres. It's the incense, which we know that the kohen gadol would go into the Holy of Holies but once a year. And what would he bring? The ketores, the incense. The kemoi ba'adun lamata. Just like the way Hashem made us in the image of what goes on high, that we have this idea that hareach b'koyach la'idres etzem ha'nefesh, that it is scent, an aroma, that's able to awaken and stir the deepest part of the soul and psyche. Kemoi kinu b'migdash. So, in perfect corollary, that's how it is in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, that's the source of it all. Sha'aveda b'reach. That serving Hashem with aroma, that's what happened in the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'yafal pikein, nichnas Hashem, gam im dam hakteris. Even though he brings the gam hakarbanos, even though he brings some of the blood of the offerings as well, but that's not the primary thing. The primary thing in the Beis HaMikdash is not the blood that goes into the Holy of Holies, but it's ikar aveda b'kodesh HaKadoshim is the keteris. And the chidush of Maisa HaKteris v'yom HaKippurim, the difference in what happens in Yom Kippur, which is unique, and apart from what happens during the rest of the year, that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was all Ketoret related. There was Dam HaNichnas Bifnim, there was blood that was brought inside the sanctuary for certain sin offerings. But the one time that things were brought radically different, where everything was off the charts and unusual, that was on Yom Kippur with the Ketoret. So, Umetzad Mailas Inyan HaKteres, precisely because of the towering virtue and the powerful punch that the Ketoret packs, so V'chaladim L'yibayil. It's a private thing. It's a personal thing. Nobody else can be there. It represents the highest form of intimacy with God. The gam b'chol hashana. The truth is that even a whole year. The Rebbe notes in the parentheses, b'chassidus mavur inyan zeh legabei yom kippurim. B'chassidus, this is talked about up until this maimer, always on Yom Kippur. But the Rebbe says the truth is, keinu b'chol hashana. Even a whole year, the one thing which had to be done in the most private of ways was the ketores. So all the kohanim would leave. Not only would they leave the building of the sanctuary, they would have to retreat to before the area of the Mizbeach, the area in front of the Mizbeach, which was considered to be the most sacred area of scrimmage in the Azara, had to be emptied of everybody. Only the Kohen himself would be there. That would represent the highest and most intimate form of service before Hashem. And that's Mitzad Mailas HaKteiris, because of the virtue of Teiris. Shewinyan HaReach, which represents the notion of scent or aroma. Shemagia Be'etzem HaNefesh. Vehine. The Rebbe says, "Kamesha begashmi is bekeach areich dafka loir me'ashina." Just like aroma and scent can actually stir a person from a slumber, kamekinu beruchnius. The same is also on a spiritual level, that in order loir me'ashina, in order to awaken to stir from slumber, it's aydeh areich. And this has a direct link to the concept of Purim, like it's explained about Purim, the verse in Shir Hashirim. It says, "Ani yeshena." I am slumbering, but v'libi er, my heart is awake. Kol doidi doifek. The voice of my beloved is knocking. V'hainu shagam de knesses sol yishena begalusa. Even though the Jewish people are asleep in golus, as Haman said, Yeshna Yam Echad, Yashnu, they're sleeping. They're sleeping from mitzvahs. They're sleeping from Yiddishkeit. But Me'achas Sheli Be'er, because the heart is still awake, which it represents the Yechida Shebenefesh, the core, pinnacle, essence of the soul. And that's B'Shleimus. That's 100% intact. It's air. It's awake by everybody. Al Kain, he killed Doidi Doifek, peacefully. That's why God's knocking. He's open up for me. God's calling out to us. All these amazing, beautiful terminology that's used. My sister, my beloved, my pigeon, my dove, my perfect one. And in the Maimer, it explains all these things. The other Pesukim Mashir Hashirim also, like Peshati Eskatanti. There's a knock on the door. He says, I'm in PJs already. I can't get dressed to come open the door. The voice is knocking. The voice of my beloved. So what did the Jewish people answer? Oh, sorry, I can't come to the door to answer the door to you. Why not? Poshati eskatanti, I already took off my clothes. I'm in bed already. Echocha el b'shena, how do you expect me to get dressed? Umavar admur marash, vadmur tzemach tzedek, tere marash tzemach tzedek, explain in their manuscripts and their writings, at Shir HaShirim, and as well as in the writings in the Medrash Rabbah, that poshati eskatanti means that it's referring to big day kahuna. That this is a euphemistic reference to the clothing of the Kohanim and the big day Malchus, the clothing of Jewish royalty, which have been stripped from us. We're in Golus. It's no Beis HaMikdash. Nobody wears the Kohanic raiments. There is no king amongst the Jewish people. King Tzidkiyahu was killed. There's no king left. No king from the house of David. The L'chayre, the Rebbe says, any moving Ashaychus, what does that have to do with Kohanic clothes? What's the connection? This is talking about our clothes, but our involvement in Yiddishkeit. Umavarim, they explain over there, the Me'achash Ani Yeshenim Begalusa, because I'm sleeping, I'm slumbering in the exile, the Galdei Deifek, and now the voice of Hashem is knocking, La'edir Me'ashinah to awaken from our sleep, from our slumber, the tshuva, the response comes, Pashati Eskatanti. We don't have the clothing anymore. We're missing the Kohanic clothes. And because we're missing the Kohanic clothes, what can't we do? We can't do the Karbonais, and most importantly, we can't do the Keteres, which is all called the Reach Nichayach, and especially the Keteres, which are Reach. What would Reach do? What would the scent do? What would the aroma do? The aroma would wake us from our sleep. So here we are sleeping in Golos, and God's knocking on the door. Wake up! Oh, hello! Open the door for me! We say, can't wake up. Well, I can't wake up because my clothes are off. So put your clothes on. I don't have my clothes. So why can't you wake up anyway? Because I need those clothes to wake up. Because those clothes are linked to the Reach Nechayach. Those clothes are linked to the aroma. And the aroma is what can wake me up. The Reach is Me'er Me'ashina. And since those clothes are no longer here, Echach Al Bashana, how am I supposed to get dressed? How am I supposed to awaken? So the Jew cries out in Galus, I'm sleeping. I can't wake myself. I can't rouse myself. V'alzeh Meshiva Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit responds in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachatzli Esragli Echach HaTanfam. How do you expect me to go and get dirty? I washed my feet already. What does this mean? The Hine Beis Hamikdash Nikra Hadayim Raglav. The Beis Hamikdash is called metaphorically the footstool of God. Or Beis Hamikdash Hayu Hashras Hashchina. The Beis Hamikdash over there. That's what the Shechina was. Hine, as it says in the verses, with Shlomo HaMelech wondering aloud, Hine Hashemayim Hashmei Hashemayim Lo Yichakulucha Afki Abayis Hazeh. The highest of heavens cannot contain the presence of God, and this house will contain the presence of God. Shezeh Tmiya Kayemes. It's not just Shlomo HaMelech one time wondered. It's an ongoing wonder. God says, I have washed myself. I no longer bring my presence into this world to the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you expect me to come now? So we have this conundrum. We don't have the clothes, we're sleeping. We can't have the ketores, we can't rouse ourselves from sleep. We're sleeping in Golos. God says, yeah, I know, I can't come into this world anymore. I rinse myself off in this. I can't get dirty anymore. I can't come into this world anymore. So what are we going to do, my friends? We're in big trouble. And the Rebbe comes along in this maimer and he says, relax, it's okay, because the idea of karbonis and the tefillos, this represents, even though we don't have the idea of the actual offerings, we have the prayers, and they correspond to the karbonot. And therefore, and there's also, you have the idea of ketoret, which this is the idea of tefillos mincha. Mincha, when nobody can come to make the minyan. That's when it's minchas ketoret. That's the incense. That's like it says, like it explains in the Drushim, in the Maila of Tfilas HaMincha, with regard to other prayers, that Elio, Elijah the prophet, was not responded to, except when he daven Mincha. Because Mincha, like it says in the Haftarah of this Shabbos, mit the Shabbos of that it says the Hamshacha Shaydeh Tfilah Hurak Bepnimis Ha'ilumis, that prayer makes a difference. It brings forth the presence of God in the inner track of reality. But in order for it to come into the outer track of reality, that requires mincha. And why does it require mincha? Precisely because everybody's busy in the middle of doing things. And when you can rouse yourself in the middle of your day, and you can pull a time out and daven mincha, so then you have the idea to bring about this incredible kind of response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Maimer goes on to explain, goes through the details of the Maimer of Shir HaShirim, and it's a very empowering Maimer, because it reminds us that ultimately, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Kohanic raiments, nonetheless, we still can rouse ourselves from sleep. We still can. And we will, Amir Tzashem. And when we will, and we wake ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes towards us, and Amir Tzashem, very, very speedily, and in our time, all the beautiful things of Purim, Oyer v'Simcha v'Sas and v'Yikar, the light and the happiness, the joy and the glory, will all be revealed in real time. B'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen.
Why also you say that the Ketoret is